All right. Well, if you would, we're going to finish up this time by looking at needless worry and needful worship. And we're going to use Matthew 6, classic passage for our time together. This past year, our world has been turned upside down, hasn't it? Due to COVID. Life has changed for many, and many of us, and in many ways, and has given many opportunities for worry. Am I going to get COVID? Will I die if I get COVID? What if I lose my job? How long do I have to wear this mask? What's going to happen to my city, my state, my country, my world? What's going to happen? Now, maybe COVID hasn't given you reason to be afraid or worried, but maybe the election, that's coming up. Who's going to be president? Biden, Trump, Pelosi, you know, Harris? You know, you think about it, there's a lot of options out there. You know, are they even going to have an election? Are they going to say, well, you know, the mail-in votes, and so what's going to happen? That could be cause for worry. Or I just read in the paper, on my news, on my phone, that China now has enough missiles to blow up the U.S. Maybe that's kind of making you a little concerned. Or the geyser or the volcano at Yellowstone Park that could wipe out most of the U.S. if it ever decides to go off? That might make you a little nervous or worried. And maybe none of that bothers you. Maybe none of those things can cause you to be concerned or worried. Maybe it's simple things or more personal things like your health or your husband's health. If most of us in this room will live past our husband. The fact is that most of our husbands die before we do. So we think about that. Am I going to be able to financially live if my husband dies? What am I going to do as a single woman, as a widow? Or maybe you are concerned about financial things. I know a lot of people have lost jobs. They've financially, they're hurting, and many people have been evicted from their homes. So maybe that's a concern of yours. Or the purity of your children, the purity of your grandchildren. That was one of my constant prayers for my children when they grew up, is that they would remain pure till marriage. And I now pray that for my 7 grandchildren, that they will remain pure till marriage. And so that might be a concern of yours. Or how am I going to get everything done I need to do? Or how am I going to pay my taxes this year? Or on and on. You know, we can have this humongous list of things that can cause us to worry. However, for the life of a kingdom citizen, do you know there should be absolutely no cause for worry? Now, you might say, Susan, you can just go back to Oklahoma right now, because that's an extreme statement. But Jesus would differ with you. Jesus would differ with you because he commands his children to not worry ever. So let's read Matthew 6, 25 through 34 and look at our text of what we're going to discover in this time together. Therefore, I say to you, don't be anxious for your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, your body, what you're going to put on. Is not the life more than food and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add 1 cubit to a statue? And why are you anxious for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil, neither do they spin not. Yet I say unto you, Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Yea, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? For the Gentiles do these things. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Be therefore not anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is its own evil. Now, if you don't know much about the Sermon on the Mount, which is where this passage is taken from, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, is called the Sermon on the Mount, most profound sermon Jesus ever preached, the least obeyed, according to Martin Lloyd-Jones. And Jesus is on a mountain, not a big mountain, it's kind of like a slope, a hill, and he's speaking to a group of people who believe they're kingdom citizens. Many of them are scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. They're legalists. They believe that Jesus is concerned about outward manifestation of religion. Jesus is going to get to their heart. This is the passage of scripture where he says, you know, you've heard it said of old, you shall not murder. But I say to you, if you are angry with your brother without a cause, you're in danger of hellfire. Or you've heard it been said, you shall not commit adultery. Right? They knew that. That was one of the Ten Commandments. But I say to you, if you look at a woman, or in our case, maybe a man, to lust in our heart, what? It's the same as adultery, right? And so on and on he goes with these. You've heard it said it been old, but I say this. So Jesus is raising the bar. He's raising the standard. Because, ladies, Jesus doesn't care about outward. Man looks at the outward. God looks at what? The heart. So he's looking at the heart. We may not commit murder. We may not commit adultery. We may not steal. But we've done it in our heart. So he's raising the standard. So when we come to this passage on worry, you know, the scribes, the Pharisees, the hypocrites, the religious leaders, religious people, they may outwardly look like everything's fine, but their heart is strangled. It's in turmoil because they are worried. And so as we look at this passage, we're going to look from the text, pull out 8 reasons why you should not worry, but 8 reasons why you should worship instead. And you might say, why did you give it this title? Well, when you come later on down to at the end of this passage where he says, seek first, instead of worrying, you're to seek first the kingdom of God. The Greek word for seek is actually worship. So instead of worrying, I'm to worship. Isn't that what Paul says in Philippians? Be anxious for nothing. So don't be anxious, but in everything by what? Bite your fingernails? By prayer. He says the same thing. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And Paul uses 4 Greek words there for prayer. Supplicate, worship, be thankful. Lord, thank you for this trial. Thank you for COVID-19. How many of you have thanked God for COVID-19? And then make your request to God. He uses 4 Greek words there for prayer. Different things we should be doing instead of being anxious. And so that's why I've given it this title. So let's look at the first reason why we should not worry. Jesus says, therefore, because of what I've already said to you, don't worry. You might say, well, what did he just say? Well, if you look at the passage before, what did he just say? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself what? Treasure in heaven where neither moth or rust doth corrupt and thieves do not break through. And then he says, for where your treasure is, there's your heart. So ladies, look at the connection. It's very simple. If you've got a lot of stuff here, you know, if you're one of those hoarders, or you've got, you know, storage units with a bunch of stuff, or you've got a bunch of stuff in your home that you're collecting, or if you've got, you know, 400 boats and 600 cars or 3 houses or whatever, I hope you don't. But if you do, if you're laying up treasure here, what's the temptation about all that stuff you got? Worry. I got to pay the taxes on this. I got to clean it. The more you have, the more you got to take care of, right? And so the transition is very simple to see. So, therefore, because of what I just said, because earthly stuff is not eternal, then stop worrying about it, Jesus says. Be concerned for greater things. Stop worrying for earthly stuff and live for eternal stuff. Now, because of this, now I say to you, do not worry, notice what he says, about your life. Now, the word life here means basic things like food, water, and clothing. And that's why it says food, clothing, and raiment. Ladies, these are the essentials. I know some of you think it's essential that you have an iPhone. That's not in here. I'm sorry. It's not in the text. Life was better without them, I think. Food, water, and clothes. What does Paul say in Timothy? Having food and clothing, what? Be content. Be content, right? So he mentions the 3 basic necessities of life. And he says, do not worry. It's a present imperative in the Greek, which indicates they were to not worry about these things. Stop it. Stop worrying about these things. And ladies, we need to remember their climate, their time was very different than ours. They lived in a very hot, dry climate. And so to get water was sometimes very difficult. I've been in third world countries. I've been to India, Honduras, Africa, these places where the water is very scarce. And so in the dry climates there, they didn't have water. They didn't have bottled water. You know, we can leave here and go to Walmart, and they've got you got a whole row of water. You got colored water. You got flavored water. You got, you know, it's crazy. But in the biblical world, they didn't have the privilege that we have. And so Jesus says, don't worry about this. And food. I mean, they didn't have Walmarts. They didn't have grocery stores. They would usually go out and work all day, labor in the fields for a denarii, and then they'd go out and get their food. And so they didn't have refrigeration systems like we have. You know, I remember talking to a missionary in Honduras, and she said, when I come back to the States, it's crazy. In Honduras, we're lucky if we get one brand of cereal at the store. And I come back to America, and there's rows of, you know, you got Honey Nut Cheerios, chocolate Cheerios, you got, you know, every kind of Cheerio you can imagine. It's not just one kind. And so, but in the biblical world, not so. And clothes. I mean, they had clothes, obviously, but not the amount that you and I have. I remember when my husband and I downsized 8 years ago, and one of the young men in our church helped move all my clothes into my closet. And he goes, Miss Hick, do you wear all these? And I said, yes, I do, Jermaine, because if you keep them, they come back in style. And I'm all sizes, you know. I can be this size, and in 2 weeks from now, I'll be a different size. So I do. In fact, last year it was funny. I put on a suit jacket to go to church that I haven't worn, oh, my goodness, 20 years. And the lady at church said, that is the cutest thing. And you know what? I had just seen it in a store window, something just like it. You just keep it long enough, it comes back in style. So, but they had clothes, but that's probably why Jesus mentions them last, because they did have them, but not, it wasn't as scarce as food and water. So Jesus says, stop worrying, which means stop it. In fact, the Greek is stop it and don't start it again. Stop worrying and don't start again. Do not take thought to these things. Now, this doesn't mean I don't put some thought into what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, or what I'm going to wear, in the sense of what kind of clothes I'm going to put on. Anytime I travel somewhere, I look at the weather. What's it going to be like there? And I pack accordingly. It doesn't mean that I don't give thought to what I'm going to buy at the grocery store. I try to, my husband's diabetic, and I try to cook the way he likes me to for him. And so I have to think mentally what I need to buy at the store that week. And I go grocery shopping, and yes, I put my mask on to go into the store, but I think I get more concerned about that than actually going to buy the food. And so it does, Jesus is not saying don't take, you know, mental thought about what you need to cook for dinner or what you need to put on according to the weather, but he's saying don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And ladies, could I say, in my humble opinion, we as women spend too much time on this stuff, browsing recipes, clothes catalogs, and the internet for all this stuff. We have an obsession that the biblical world would think ridiculous. Can you see Sarah and Rachel? You know, hey, let's Google this recipe. And, you know, we ought to have all these 100 gourmet, you know, items. And then we're going to work all day in the kitchen, and it's going to be gobbled up in 5 minutes, you know. We have an obsession. The biblical world would think ridiculous. Wouldn't it be great if we would have that type of obsession for God and serving others? One man says, yet taking care of our body has always been a common obsession with men, and I may say women too. Even when we're not starving or thirsty or naked, we give an inordinate amount of attention to our body. We pamper our body. We decorate it. We exercise it. We protect it from disease and pain. We build it up. We slender it down. We drape it with jewelry. We keep it warm. We keep it cool. We train it to work, play, get sleep, and 100 other things to serve and satisfy our bodies. End of quote. How true is that? Now, since Jesus is going to condemn worry, what is worry? What does it mean? Well, the word means to be pulled apart in different directions. To be pulled apart in different directions. And the English word that comes from this Greek word is strangle. Strangle. Ladies, that's what happens to you when you worry or have fear or anxiety. Have you ever noticed sometimes it paralyzes you? Fear paralyzes you. It strangles you. Have you ever noticed what happens when you become anxious about something? It dominates your thinking, And you see everything in light of your anxiety, don't you? Everything. It strangles you. Now, when we worry about any of these things that Jesus mentions or any other things, it takes away our thoughts from God, doesn't it? And we start worrying. We don't think about God. So, ladies, the first reason you should not worry is because of what Jesus says, life is more than earthly concerns. He says life is more than this. The first reason you should not worry is because life is more than earthly concerns. And if you're taking notes, we would do well to worship instead on this point, because life involves heavenly concerns, right? We would do well to worship. Life involves heavenly concerns. Get your mind off the earthly and onto the heavens. Start worshiping. One day when John Wesley was away from home, someone came up to him and he said, John Wesley, your house is burning down. Your house is burning down. And he goes, no, it isn't, because I don't own a house. And he said, the one I have been living in belongs to the Lord. And if it has burned down, that's one less responsibility for me to worry about. So, you know, that's the way we should look at our stuff, right? Don't worry about it. Life is more than a house. Life is more than clothes and food, right? Well, Jesus now gives a live illustration in verse 26 is why they shouldn't worry. Look at the birds of the air. Look at them. Remember, Jesus is teaching on not a big mountain, but kind of like a grassy slope and a hill. And more than likely during this time that he's teaching in the land of Palestine, they tell us there was about 20 different species of birds. And so I can just see Jesus standing there. He says, look at the bird, you know, and he's pointing out to some bird. And he says, behold, look at the birds. Are you watching them? They do not sow or reap or gather their food into barns. Birds don't plant seeds and harvest them, do they? Now, ladies, Jesus is not condoning laziness. The birds work, don't they? Have you ever seen them work to build their nest? And then if they get the nest and the eggs come, I mean, they are protective about those eggs. And then after the babies are born, I mean, the mother and the dad usually both go and get stuff to feed the little babies. So he's not condoning laziness. The birds work. They work, but they don't worry. Have you ever seen a bird worry? I don't even know what it would look like to see a bird worry. They don't worry. Ladies, we should also work, but not worry. You know, the psalmist reminds us the Lord takes care of these things. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You satisfy the hand of every living thing. Also, he gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. He feeds them. The birds don't worry about this stuff. And it's funny that Jesus mentions that they don't store up their stuff in barns, because he's just been talking about what? All the earthly treasures that we store up, they're going to decay, right? I think of people that have stocked up for COVID-19 or when Y2K was here and they stock up. And I go, you know, somebody's going to come in your house and kill you for that food, you know? And all that stuff's going to eventually expire. So, you know, it seems crazy to do that. Ladies, since this is true that God feeds the birds which have no eternal soul, then the logical conclusion is what? He says, are you not much more valuable than they are? Ladies, you have a human soul. Birds do not have a human soul. And I'm sorry if you have a pet for a bird and you're thinking that little bird's going to heaven. But you have a human soul. Birds do not. You are more important than they are, and yet God feeds them. So why are you worrying? How ridiculous is that? A cute poem I found is a good reminder for all of us. Said the robin to the sparrow, I would really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me. I remember when my daughter, she used to live in Louisville, now they're in Houston where her husband pastors, and I remember one time she called me. She'd adopted 4 children from Africa, and she was having a rough day. And she said, Mom, I didn't know if I could keep on. She said, and I looked out the kitchen window in my backyard, and she said, there was a bird in the tree. And she said, if God cares about that bird, he cares about what's going on in my life today. And she said that was such a comfort. So, ladies, remember, if God cares for the birds, he cares about you, right? So the second reason we should not worry is because God cares for the animal life. Think about that. The next time you get concerned, don't worry. Think about it. God cares for the animal life. But do worship him instead. Why? Because God cares for you more than the animal life. Don't worry. Try to remember, God cares for the animal life. Do worship. Why? Because God cares for you more than the animal life. Well, Jesus presents a second question in verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Now, you might have read this question or the translation in your Bible and say, what in the world is Jesus talking about? Well, first of all, we need to define a cubit. It's a measurement in biblical times. It was about 22 inches. You take your from your elbow to right here, 22 inches. However, the Greek here is not talking about length. It's talking about more of duration of life. So Jesus is not talking about getting taller. He's talking about adding years to your life. What he's saying is, if you worry, you're not going to add any days to your life. Your life is not going to be lengthened because of worry. Now, Jesus does not say this, but ladies, do you know worry will actually take away years from your life? Do you know it has been proven by medical doctors that worry affects your whole body, your heart, your nervous system, your appetite, your sleep? It weakens your immune system. It causes acid reflux, bowel issues, digestive problems, headache, backache, and even skin problems. In fact, recently one of my, well, not recently, because he died, I think it's been 3 years ago, my brother that went to a Christless eternity. But in fact, the last thing he said to me was, Susan, don't pray for me. That was the last thing he said when I saw him in the hospital. And he said that in a very angry tone. But I remember going to visit him in the hospital. He had a heart condition, and I happened to be there when the cardiologist came in. He was asking my brother questions, and my brother said, yeah, I shouldn't have been under the house. He was in construction. Shouldn't have been under the house. I know I'm too old for that. I was working. And the cardiologist looked at him and he said, hard work will not kill you, but stress will kill you. And my brother quickly admitted that he'd been under a lot of stress at work. Ladies, according to Psalm 139:16, do you know your days were written before you were ever born? Do you know each one of you has an expiration date, and only God knows when that expiration date's going to be? So why do we think we can add anything to our life about worrying when we worry about it? We can't, right? But you better be careful about worrying, because you're going to end up probably getting sick. Ladies, we have an expiration date given to us from our Father, and we can't add or take away from it by worry. I think that's been one of the most freeing things about COVID. It's like, if that's how God wants to take me, that's how it's going to be, right? I mean, I could be killed today going back to Oklahoma with all these crazy drivers that text. And I think Texas drivers are as bad as Oklahoma. So, in fact, Debbie, you drove us here, and I don't know how many times we went by somebody was doing this, and she'd drive, and I'd look, yep, they're texting and driving. You can always tell a texter and driver. And so, you know, COVID is, that's how God wants to take me, oh, so be it. Ladies, you can't worry. You're not going to add anything by worrying about it. So number three, don't worry because you can't add any years to your life. Don't worry because you can't add any years to your life by worrying, but do worship. Why? Because God has numbered your days. God has numbered your days, ladies. That should free you up to worship him and stop worrying. What an awful thing to be in the middle of an anxiety attack when God decides to take you home, right? That's how you go to glory. You know, how shameful is that? Well, Jesus now gives another illustration regarding the sin of worry in verse 28. Why do you worry about your clothes? Why do you worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies of the field. They grow without toiling or spinning. Again, a lily was a common flower in the biblical world. Purple, white were usually the colors. In fact, Song of Solomon talks about that, the lily of the valleys. And Jesus says lilies grow, means lilies get big. If you've ever seen a lily, it gets big. But he says they don't toil. They don't spin. The word toil means to be fatigued. Have you ever watched a flower grow and they go, oh, I'm so tired, I can't grow it? No, they don't do that, do they? They don't get fatigued. And what's the spinning? Well, the spinning is something that the women did in the biblical world. Remember the Proverbs 31 woman, the woman we all want to emulate, right? Right? We want to be like her. It says she stretches out her hand to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. The spindle and the distaff were instruments used for spinning or making thread, and then they would take that thread and make clothes. So what Jesus is saying here, lilies grow, but they don't get tired, they don't have fatigue, and they don't spin like that, right? And he goes on to say, and yet I say unto you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, purple or white was the color of a king's robe, just like the lilies. Even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Even as beautiful as Solomon's robes were of purple and white, Jesus says, it's not as beautiful as one of these brilliant lilies. The lilies were more beautiful than Solomon's robe. So what's the conclusion? Look at verse 30. If God clothes the grass of the field, which today is tomorrow's oven, thrown into the oven, will he not clothe you, O you of little faith? Ladies, if God clothes the grass of the field, if he makes lilies that grow more beautiful than Solomon's robe, lilies that are beautiful today but cast into an oven tomorrow, will he not clothe you? In fact, what they did in the biblical world, when he says today they grow, they're beautiful, tomorrow they're thrown into the oven, the women would go around, and after the flowers would die out, they'd gather the little stubs and the pieces that would fall, and they would use that for kindling in their little ovens that they had in order to bake and cook for their families. So ladies, if God cares about the lilies who have no soul, lilies don't have a soul either. I'm sorry, your flower arrangements are not going to heaven with you. But if God cares about the lilies who have no soul that are here today and thrown into the oven tomorrow for fuel, does he not care more for you who has an eternal soul? So ladies, number four, the fourth reason you should not worry about having clothes or anything is because God cares for the plant life. God cares. Have you ever thought about that? God cares for the plant life, the trees, the flowers, the beautiful things we get to see. But do worship instead, because God cares and clothes you, cares for you more than the plant life. Don't worry, because God, do not worry about having enough clothes, because God clothes and cares for the plant life. But do worship, because God clothes and cares for you more than the plant life. Well, hold on to your seatbelts, as my husband says, hold on to your spiritual seatbelts. Because Jesus then rebukes their worry, and he says, oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. You who are lacking confidence. The Greek word is little faithed ones. Oh, you little faithed ones. Ladies, think about it. Do you know worry is contrary to the faith that you say you have? You ever thought about that? In direct opposition to what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? The just shall live by worry? No, what does it say? Faith, right? Faith. Ladies, worry is contrary to our faith, to what we say we believe. So, number five, stop worrying, because worry indicates you have little faith. Worry indicates you have little faith. But start worshiping instead, because worship shows you have great faith. Worship shows you have great faith. As a pastor's wife, it's been very interesting to watch people in our congregation, ladies that I know around the U.S. and even around the world, and to watch their response during this. You know, the ones that have gone through COVID-19 and like, yeah, you know, God's in sovereign, he's in control, I'm going to keep on serving him. That's been a real example to me and to others watching. Then there are others that are paralyzed. It makes me wonder, where's their faith? Where's this God they say they believe in, who is sovereign over life and death and every event in our life? Where is he? Ladies, worry is contrary to the faith that we say we have. Well, after giving two wonderful illustrations how futile worry is from the plant life and the animal life, Jesus again reminds them, stop to worrying. Therefore, don't worry, verse 31, saying, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? Therefore, he says, because of what I just told you, the illustration about the bird, the illustration about the lilies, then stop worrying. I'm so thankful the Lord reminds his audience more than once, because ladies, we have to be reminded more than once too, right? I am not naive enough to believe that when this conference ends here in just a little bit and you go home, that you're not going to have something come up in the next day, two, or week that isn't going to cause you to be tempted to worry, right? We're all going to have those things. And Jesus realizes that. And so he repeats it. He loves them enough to say, stop it. Just don't do this. Don't worry about necessities of life. In fact, it's interesting. We don't have time to go back there. But in the Sermon on the Mount, he's already dealt with this. Tell them what to do in Matthew 6, where he tells them when they pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as if it is in heaven. And remember the next phrase? Give us this day our what? Daily bread. So instead of worrying about what I'm going to eat, I'm supposed to what? Pray. There you have the word again, right? Worship. Lord, you know we have this need, so please provide it. So we pray for our daily bread. Now, obviously we need to eat, we need to drink, we need to put clothes on. And again, nothing in the text that indicates that Jesus is prohibiting that. And as I mentioned, we would do well to remember what the Apostle Paul says. We brought nothing in this world. Certain we're going to carry nothing out. Therefore, having food and raiment, be content, right? Be content. Well, Jesus gives us another reason in verse 32 why we should not worry. And ladies, this one should disturb you probably more than any of them. And it probably disturbed Jesus' audience. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. Jesus says, stop worrying about all this stuff. Why? Because this is what Gentiles do. Now, a Gentile in the biblical world was a reference to an unbeliever, a pagan, someone who did not know God. 1 Thessalonians 4:5, Paul says, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, right? So he's referring to those who are unsaved. Jesus says, don't seek after this stuff. Don't crave after these kinds of things that cause worry. And ladies, this behooves us to examine ourselves in light of what Jesus is saying. If worry is your mantra, your belief in a sovereign God is in question. If worry describes you, Jesus, not me, Jesus would be suspect about your conversion. Worry is a respectable sin among Christians, but it's not respectable to God. It maligns his character. It blasphemes the very attributes that he claims to have according to his word. Pagans do this. My two sisters that are sitting in their home terrified, they do this. They do not know God. That is the issue. That's why one of them hasn't come out of her house since February. She is terrified. Kingdom citizens don't do this. They don't worry. Ladies, keep in mind, Jesus is contrasting the whole Sermon on the Mount, genuine Christians with those who think they are, but they're not. That's what he is doing. His children don't worry. Hypocrites worry. Again, this leads us to examine ourselves in light of this respectable sin. And by the way, as I just mentioned, unbelievers are watching you. Your neighbor hopefully knows you're a Christian. People in your church think you're Christians. Your family knows you're a Christian. And if they see you, not just this during this pandemic, but anything else that might come up in your life, if they see you wandering around worrying and anxious, they're going to say, well, what are you serious? In fact, one of my sisters, my other sister, says, Susan, why are you always so at peace? And I say, why shouldn't I be? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God, right? That's a promise. And if they see you always anxious and worried and uptight, what do you have? I mean, they've got the same problem, right? But if they see you walking around in peace, tranquility, joy, loving them through this, they go like, you know, you really live out what you say you believe. And ladies, it's an opportunity to adorn the doctrine of God and make it attractive. Otherwise, we blaspheme the word of God. We make it unattractive. Who wants to be a Christian if we act just like everybody else during this time, right? We need to show the unbelieving world Jesus gives peace. It's a promise, right? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. And then he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid, right? So ladies, we need to shore up our determination on this by the Spirit to not worry. Jesus says, don't worry about these things because your Father knows you have need of these things. Ladies, do you think God doesn't know you have needs? He does. He knows what your needs are. I don't know what your needs are. Your husband might not even know what your needs are. I remember when we first got married, my husband said to me, at first I was like, well, that's a mean thing to say to me as a young bride. He said, Susan, God didn't make me to meet all your emotional needs, so don't expect me to. And I'm like, you know, so I'm like, what? I thought you were supposed to, you know, meet them all. And, you know, but even my husband sometimes will talk like he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand what I'm trying to tell him, you know. So, but God knows, doesn't he? God knows what our needs are even before we ask him. So, dear one, you do not want to be a worry because reason number 6, unbelievers are characterized by worry. Unbelievers are characterized by worry. But you do want to worship instead. Why? Because God knows you have needs. So ladies, lay them before them. Lord, you know my propensities during this time. Or Lord, you know that we have a financial need. Or Lord, you know whatever it is. And so I ask you to help me to provide for the needs that we have. Not wants, but needs that we have. Excuse me. Instead of seeking these earthly worries like Gentiles do, kingdom citizens seek something else. Look at verse 33. But, in contrast, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So, in contrast to seeking stuff, seek the kingdom of God. In fact, that's why I entitled this, the word for seek means worship. So, instead of worrying, I am to worship. Ladies, try it next time. You'll like it. Instead of worrying, worship. I think about 1 Peter, you know, when Peter says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Roll them off, throw them off on him, don't take them back. You know who he's writing to? Persecuted Christians. They've lost their homes, lost everything. Many of them are being sown in the skin of wild animals and being torn from limb to limb by wild dogs. Many of them are being rolled up in tar, pitch, and set to light Nero's gardens at night. How would you like to watch your husband be burned to death or pulled apart by a wild dog? And what does Peter say? Don't worry. Cast all your care upon him. Why? He cares for you. So instead of worrying about, am I next? Am I going to be next to be fuel for Nero's garden? Am I going to be next to be torn from limb to limb? Instead of worrying about this stuff, I'm going to worship, right? Cast my care on the Lord. Why? He cares for me. Or how about Mary and Martha? They're great examples, aren't they? You know, Martha's, you know, in the kitchen and she's getting everything ready for Jesus, you know, and Mary's sitting at his feet and Martha comes out there, Lord, don't you care? Would you please send my sister in there to help me? You know, she's not helping me in the kitchen. And what did Jesus say? Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but Mary has chosen the good part, the thing that will not be taken away from her, right? So instead of worrying, Martha, get out of the kitchen and get in here and listen. Sit at my feet and worship and learn, right? So what an example. How about Job? Now here's a guy that could worry. I mean, that's the verse I told you. My husband, I used to worry all the time about getting breast cancer. I don't know why. I guess every woman was, and that's when he said, Susan, you better stop that. You better stop that. Job said the thing that he worried about the most came upon him. So Job must have had concern about losing his children. He lost all 10 of them one day. Everything he owned was gone. Then he had a wife who forgot to read The Excellent Wife. And she said, curse God and die. What's wrong with you? Just curse God and die, you know? And then the 3 miserable comforters. And you know what it says in all this? Job did not sin with his mouth. He fell on the ground. Go back and read Job. He fell on the ground and he worshiped and he said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he tells his wife, don't speak like one of the foolish women. Shall we not receive evil as well as good from the Lord? Ladies, that's amazing. It's amazing. I remember my husband had a stroke 2 years ago. Actually, I think it'll be 2 weeks, 2 years ago, pretty soon, this week. And we were sitting there eating, and I said, what's wrong with you? You act like you're drunk. And I knew he wasn't because he doesn't drink. And he was having a stroke, and make a long story short, by the time we got to the hospital, it was pretty bad, and they got him hooked up to all this stuff, and thankfully I wasn't out of town when it happened, and I wanted to call some of the elders of the church, and he said no. And he grabbed my hand. He said, we're going to pray and ask God to be glorified in this trial before we call anybody. So he chose, instead of me calling everybody, say, hey, you know, this is happening, to stop and to worship and commit the thing to the Lord. And that was such a rebuke to me and an example of a man that lives out what he believes. Ladies, instead of worrying, we are to worship. Jesus says, seek first his kingdom. First means this is the most important thing I do. Ladies, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God, you don't have time to worry. You really don't. To seek his kingdom means expanding his kingdom, not my kingdom. So what does this mean? Every day, I live the gospel truth. I share the truth. If I spend my time doing things like that, then lesser things seem unimportant. Who cares if I don't have enough food or water or clothes? Who cares? When we seek his kingdom, we're more concerned about the souls of others and where they're going to spend eternity than my personal needs of what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, what am I going to wear. Ladies, we should know where we're going after we die, right? I hope you know where you're going after you die. So who cares about this other stuff? Who cares about clothes and food and all these things we think we need to have? What does it matter if my life is not going the way I want it to be? What matters if all the relationships I have are not perfect? Why are we so obsessed with material things and personal relationships when others are lost and dying and going to a Christless eternity? Why do we worry about these things? Secondly, he says, seek his righteousness. Seeking here indicates a strenuous effort, a pursuit, his holiness, purity of life. The whole Sermon on the Mount has been talking about purity of life, holiness, raising the standard to what's really in your heart. So we should be seeking those things, righteousness, his righteousness. Ladies, when we start living right and seeking his righteousness, then these other things are not so important. Remember, even Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head, right? He wasn't concerned about that. He was born in a stable, buried in a borrowed tomb. When he was hungry and tempted by the devil, you know, he was very clear what was essential. Get thee behind me, Satan. Man does not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? So, ladies, the seventh reason we should not worry is because there are greater things to be concerned about. The seventh reason why you should not worry is because there are greater things to be concerned about. His kingdom, his righteousness. But worship instead, why? Because as you seek heavenly things, as you do that first, all this other stuff is taken care of. Don't worry because there's greater things to be concerned about. His kingdom, his righteousness. Do worship instead. Why? Because as you seek him first, seek heavenly things first, all this other stuff will be taken care of. In fact, did you notice what Jesus says? Not just taken care of. He says it will be added to you, which means it will be placed additionally unto you. It'll happen. I can testify to this. I really can. It's happened many, many times in my life where I look at my list of things I have to do and I'm like, Lord, there ain't no way I can get all this done today. Seriously. And you know what I do? I take my list besides appointments I have with people and I say, okay, what is the most eternal thing on this list? And you know what? That's what I do first. And many times I lay my head at my pillow at night and I'm like, Lord, how did I get all that done? In fact, I have a friend, she goes, I don't know anyone that gets more done in a day than you do. And I can testify to this. Okay, I need to review this passage. I need to write this. I need some of eternal value. Do that first. And I can honestly say I go to bed and I was like, I don't know how I got all that done, but I did. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. And all this stuff will be added unto you. It'll happen. Don't worry about it. In fact, he ends this passage by saying, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow will worry about itself. Sufficient unto the day is its own evil. Therefore, Jesus says, because of everything I've said, because of all the examples I've given you. In fact, he's mentioned this 5 times. Stop worrying. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And this time he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Why? Why shouldn't I worry about tomorrow? Because he says tomorrow will worry about its own things. It's interesting words that Jesus used here, because when tomorrow gets here, guess what? It's today. There is no tomorrow, right? It's always the next day. So there's no need to worry, period, right? And also, when you consider all your tomorrows in light of Lamentations 3:22, you should be encouraged, right? Through the Lord's mercy, we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, right? Great is his faithfulness. Ladies, we can bank on that. Jesus goes on, today, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What's he saying? Today has enough trouble of its own, right? Today has enough concerns, and even those concerns we have, we should rid ourselves of. Why? Because they're in the hands of a loving Father. So ladies, number 8, and last on your list, reasons why you should not worry. Do not worry because he has all the tomorrows in his hands. Do not worry because he has all the tomorrows in his hands, but do worship instead. Why? Because he has all the tomorrows in his hands. Because he has all the tomorrows in his hands. One man said, worry is not a trivial sin because it strikes a blow both at God's love and his integrity. Worry declares our Heavenly Father to be untrustworthy in his word and in his promises. To avow belief in the inerrancy of Scripture and in the next moment to express worry is to speak out of both sides of our mouth. Worry shows we're mastered by our circumstances and by our own fine perspectives and understanding rather than by God's word. Worry is therefore not only debilitating and destructive, but it maligns and impugns God. End of quote. So, ladies, what's got you worried? China blowing us up? Volcano destroying the U.S.? The COVID virus, the election, taxes, the riots, the burning down of California, Washington, and Oregon? I think they're all burning up. Whatever it may be, let's determine with the Lord's help to put off needless worry and put off needful worship. And as we close this conference, will you be a faithful woman in a faithless age by disciplining yourself in word, in the word and prayer, by knowing and using your spiritual gifts, and by putting off sinful worry and needful worship? Let's pray, and we'll take a little break, and then we'll come back for a Q&A. Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray for any woman here this morning that struggles with worry or anxiety, fear, depression, any of these things, Lord, I pray that you will give her the ability to clearly look into this text and others in your word that points out the sinfulness of worry and anxiety and fear. I pray, Lord, that you will give her a heart that is galvanized to worship, to pant for you as the deer pants for the water brook, that her soul would be satisfied and at peace as she worships you, thinks about you, and invests in the kingdom. Help us to lay aside these things, Lord, because we know they're displeasing to you. We want to be pleasing in your sight, Father. So help us, help me as I endeavor to answer questions that are on the hearts of these dear ladies, that I would be true to the sufficiency of your word and what it says. And I pray this in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen.